You know, I love the book of Revelation. I really do. I thank God for it. And the reason why I was teaching on and also on Sunday night about Daniel's 70th week, what happens is when you hit chapter 6 of Revelation, that's Daniel's 70th week starts. Revelation 6 through chapter 19, you got Daniel's 70th week going on. I mean, you know, literal hell on earth. And I'm praying for our country, pray for our the next president and all that stuff. They got a lot to deal with, a lot of things going on. And boy, I don't think any one man or any one person can bring this country. What this country needs to get back to God, but it ain't gonna happen. There, you know, you say, well, that's skepticism. I just know that for all this stuff to happen, what the Bible says is going to happen, and falling away first in the Laodicean church age, and that's where we're at. People are more in love with pleasure than they are with God, and the Bible tells you that. In 2 Timothy, it says the men shall be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. People have they don't have no problem with just doing their own thing and not worrying about serving the Lord, not worrying about souls going to hell, not worrying about anything other than what their own happiness will bring. And that's all they're concerned about. And it's very selfish on their part and on our part. We get that way at times too. Very selfish on our part, not thinking about people needing to be saved and people going, you know, honoring God. So it's, like I said, very selfish. And so we need to think about others being saved. If we believe this is the Lord's coming back soon, which we do, we ought to be showing what we believe and by our actions. But in Revelation chapter 5, we stopped last time, I think, about verse 9. They sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. This is a song they're singing. They're singing the living creatures, the four beasts, and also the 24 elders, and they're all singing to the Lamb. They're singing praises to Him. They're singing a great song, and there's all heaven singing right along with them. And they're singing this great song. And like I said, a Christian ought to be singing right songs. I remember many times pulling up beside people and hearing them have in their car. And I tell you, folks, this is not just, I've observed a lot through the 30 years passing church and being saved. I noticed this, that people that listen to the wrong kind of music, and they carry on, they go out, they dance, they carry on, drink, and they do all kinds of crazy stuff. And the people that listen to the wrong kind of music always kind of defeat it. And they never have no victory in their life. They're always down and out when it comes to God and His church, when it comes to souls of men. We got a lot of young generation that was raised in church, they're out. All over the country, all over the world, there's Christian kids raised right and going bad. And I said that last Sunday. I said, man, I came to church sitting in the back. I'd just come off the street, been in the world for 18 years, and I wanted to find out more about God, and they wanted to find out more about the world, and they wanted to get out in the world. And I didn't understand that. I still don't understand it. And not all, I'm not saying all of them, but a lot of them have going astray. And they go out and they get in the world, but they're singing the wrong music. They're doing the wrong places. They're doing the wrong things. And they're acting crazy. And you think, what in the world? I feel like slapping the snot at them. That's what I feel like doing. But that's just the flesh. But they sung a new song over here, and the Bible says in Revelation. And then only first time you find singing in the Bible is in Exodus chapter 15. And it's after they came out of Egypt. They've been slaves for 400-some years. They were slaves in Egypt. And when they came out, and then God, and then they saw Pharaoh coming out, and they said, hey, what'd you do? We'll go back to Egypt. And Pharaoh's coming to wipe them out. And Moses said, stand still, see the salvation of God. And he opens up the Red Sea. The Red Sea is a type of the sea being opened up. We're going out of here. And Pharaoh and his army is going to go in and drown. That's the Red Sea up there. One day we're going to go, the rapture is going to take place, the Red Sea is going to open. And the Bible tells you in Revelation 12 that the devil is going to try to go up and try to go in with his army and follow us in at the rapture. And he's going to try to follow us in. And Michael and the archangels and his army is going to come out and fight against the devil. You're talking about a war. They're going to fight. And we're going to be going up in the rapture looking back, going, my Lord, here comes a seven-headed dragon following us with all his army. And we'll be looking back going, my God, God help it. Now, you wouldn't want to be the backslider going, I mean, kind of to get up there, you know. You wouldn't want to be the one in the back of the pile. And maybe the Lord let you, get sizzled a little bit from the dragon. But in Revelation, in Exodus, they sing a song. And there's a few times in the Bible people sing. And it's always after the victory. It's always after the victory. They're singing praises to God. If you read your book, your Bible, Psalms is the songs of David. And that's why David had power with God. David sang, great is the Lord. And greatly, that's the Revelation. But David was singing, Psalms 48. Wait a minute. Let's go to Psalms 48. Go to Psalms. David sang, he's called a psalmist of Israel, and David had power with God. And I believe if a Christian would sing and praise God in their daily life, if they would sing the right songs and walk with the Lord, they would have power. A lot of Christian kids have no power today. They want power. They want power, but they listen to the wrong place. They're going to the wrong place trying to get it. I remember when we got going to Bible school, I remember me and a bunch of guys, we wanted the power of God in our lives. We went to North Carolina, we were fasting, praying, preaching to each other, seeking, praying all night prayer meeting, all of Jim Lynch and all of us together. We were praying all the time and preaching to each other, trying to encourage one another. And we were singing praises and shouting and having a time. And we wanted the power of God in our lives. And you see a lot of young people today, they have no power in their life. There's no consistency when it comes to their walk with God. And they're up and down, they're in and out, they're all over the place, and then they are defeated all the time. And they have no real joy that's deep down in their soul. And that's Christians, that's the church itself today, that's the whole church. I'm talking about the church age. Look at Psalms 48, look what it says. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. This is David singing. In the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness, beautiful situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north. Right there, he gives you the direction where God is. Sides of the north, the city of the great king. And David's singing the stuff. I learned listening to some of the psalms. I heard Lester Roloff would teach the girls. They would sing it. That's how they memorize. They memorize these songs. Like, go back to Psalms 19. Psalm 19. It says, Psalm 19, verse 7. I remember a few of these. I don't remember. The whole thing was David singing. And that's why when Saul had an unclean spirit from God, that God took the spirit of God away from him and gave him an unclean spirit. And they said, you know what they said? Saul's uncle said, Abner, he said, let's find somebody that's got a good spirit in him that can play the harp and sing to drive this unclean spirit out of you. So they had David come along, and David came over there, just a young kid, and he's sitting there, he invited to the king's palace, and David's sitting over in the corner playing his harp, and he's singing praises to God and drove that spirit out of there. And it all depends on what you listen to. You can bring the spirit in there, the wrong spirit. And or you can have a good spirit, and look at this, Psalms 19. It says, verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimonies of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More, then you go down to verse 10, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and a honeycomb. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. And then the chorus, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Then it goes, verse 9. Look what it says. The fear of the Lord is clean. If you don't fear God, there's no cleansiness. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. I used to listen to Lester Roloff all the time. He had the girls. They sang every psalm from Psalms 1 all the way through. They sang. They would sing them. And David sang them. And when he sang them, he was out there by himself. He would sing to God. And he would sing and praise God with it. And it had power. Here's a young man walks up and all Israel, I mean, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of men on both sides, and the king, everybody shivered when old Goliath came out there in the valley, and he said, send me a man that we might fight for 40 days. And here comes David riding up on his little cart, bringing his brother something. The fear of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimonies of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple, more to be desired. And he's riding up, and he hears this guy cursing God. He said, hey, I want somebody to do something about that guy. And they said, who do you think you are? He said, I'll do something. He had power with God. Yeah. Every time there's a victory, but I'm going to tell you something before a victory, if you know how to sing praises to God and worship God, you'll be able to face it a lot better. Go to Revelation chapter 15. Revelation 15. Revelation 15, and I think it's I was looking for a word. No, that ain't. Oh, there it is. And it says in Revelation 15, I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark. They got the victory over it, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God, and they sing the song of what? Moses. These are Jews that the Antichrist, more than likely, in chapter 14, killed. And it says, in the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, the Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. And after that I looked, and he goes on, says, I saw, then he says, I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of testimony in heaven was open. They're singing, and the temple gets opened up. And look what verse 8 says, and the temple was filled with the smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. So man, singing is connected with worship. Singing is connected with praise. Singing is connected with power in your life. Talking about the right kind of song. The guys that are singing, you know, everybody wants to be a rock star. They're up there on the platform. They're dancing around and they're singing the song. They mention Jesus. They think that's what it's, you know, it's all about, but that's not what it's about. And they're trying to be rock stars. Everybody wants to be in Hollywood. Go back to Revelation chapter 5. Singing, you don't hear about nobody singing in Genesis. You don't read about it. Not saying they didn't do it, but only a few times in the Bible you find singing taking place. Now, the Bible tells us, for a New Testament Christian, look at hold your place in Revelation. Go to 1 Timothy. I think it's Timothy. Maybe it's Ephesians. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We're supposed to sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Ephesians 5. Oh, where is it? Ephesians 5, yeah, here it is. Speaking to yourself, verse 19. Ephesians 5, verse 19, speaking to yourself in psalms. Psalms is the word of God. David sang them. It says speaking to yourself in psalms, quoting them, quoting it. You know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death. Though I walk through it, God's going to be there. And he said, speaking to yourself in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. See, it says to the Lord. And then it says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. So every time I found a defeated Christian, somebody you find, it's almost like a cycle. They have no song of praise. They listen to country, Western. They listen to the rock, the rap, all the crap. They listen to that stuff thinking that it makes the flesh feel good. But then they, when it comes to spiritual songs, they have none. They have no spirituality. You see, Christians been saved 20, 30 years, and they have no spirituality. I don't know how many times I pulled up beside people and they're playing, you know, the country Western. They're singing them song. I don't know how many times I call somebody's cell phone and they got, you know, some country song or some, you know, even this Motown songs. They have all that junk. They have stuff like that on there. And, man, why not have Amazing Grace, sing Amazing Grace? Why not when somebody makes a wrong number, they call the wrong number. Whenever somebody calls the wrong number, to me, I always say, hey, hey, you got the right number. And I'll say, what? I'll say, hey, are you saved? I was talking to a girl from Progressive, a woman from Progressive the other day, and we was talking about insurance and was doing this and that, talking about that. And I said, she goes, how's the weather in Delaware? I said, weather's good. I said, it's a little cold. She goes, yeah, in Ohio here, it's pretty cold. It's a little cold too. She goes, not a little colder than what I'd like. And I said, well, thank God it's not so hot that you can't stand it. And she goes, oh, yeah, we've had some days like that. I said, no, I'm talking about going to hell. And she goes, what? Progressive, you know. And I said, yeah, I think God ain't going to hell. And I started giving my testimony to her. I said, I got saved. I said, are you saved? She got real quiet. I said, are you saved? And she said, no, I'm not. She said, I've never heard that until you said it. I said, would you do me a favor? She said, what's that? I said, would you check it out? See what that means? I said, it's not baptism. And so I went through it like that, and she goes, thank you. And we hung up. She said, anything else I can do? I said, nope, thank you. Hallelujah. If you're singing, singing helps you. I said this when George passed away, I lost my song. And it bothered me. Because what it was, I was grieving. And I lost my song because I was grieving. And then I said, Lord, I want my song back. It's a blessing to be able to wake up in the morning and wake up with a song. Not like I used to with the old Motown songs. I got all that junk in my head, but I'm waking up with good songs, praising God. Last night I had a crazy dream. I was with Rex Harrison. We was preaching and singing. He was singing and I was preaching. Rex had been gone now for about a year. He died. Just the other day, Jack Chick died Sunday. He passed away. And but I've noticed this. Christians that know how to praise and worship God are usually going to be the ones that's on the front line trying to win people to Jesus Christ. You're going to get hit. Don't get me wrong. You're going to get hit. You're going to have problems. You're going to have problems that the devil's going to try to steal your soul. And these people here in Revelation, they're singing praises to God. And look at Revelation 5, look what it says. And they sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals there. We talked all about this last time. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. For out of every kindred, tongue, and people, and nation. That means makes no difference what color they are. Some people have preferences. They won't witness to somebody of a different color. They won't witness, you know, they'll say, I don't want to talk to them. I don't want to talk to them. I have no preference. I'll witness to anybody. I've offended many people that's from other cultures and stuff. We need to witness. And it says, and has made us unto our God kings and priests. And God, he says, I'll make you a king and priest. And one day we shall reign, and we shall reign on the earth. Now, I believe that. That's called the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. And if you serve him and you've honored him here in the middle of all your troubles and trials and everything else, you kept on going, worshiping God, it says you'll reign with him. And what it means that you're going to be, the Lord's going to give you a position. It's not saying we do it for a position, but God's going to give you a position in this and on this earth. And I don't know what it would be. Can you imagine, in the New Testament, he tells his disciples, he says, I'll make you governor, or I'll make you over 10 cities. I'll put you over this, I'll put you over that. Can you imagine God putting you over and being responsible for people in the millennial reign of Jesus Christ? That millennial reign is right here, 1,000 years. And the Bible says, if you suffer with him, you shall also reign with him. And this is the millennial reign. So there's going to be people left upon this planet after the tribulation, after all hell breaks loose. Then Jesus is going to judge. He's going to judge the nations. He's going to sit down. The Bible, I was just reading over in Hosea, he's going to sit down and judge the nations. And there's going to be still millions of people upon this planet. And they're going to multiply. They have 1,000 years. They'll have 1,000 years. Isaiah says a child will die at 100 years old. That's crazy. But long as they honor the king, they're going to have to go to Jerusalem to honor the king. And if you're his reigning with him, you'll be in that community or that area telling people, we need to have a representative to go see the king. You might be the transportation for them. You might be the one providing their transportation to take them to Jerusalem to see the king. And the Bible says, if they don't come, look over in Zechariah. Look at this. If they don't come, then God's not going to send rain, and their harvest is not going to grow, and they'll end up dying. And we know at the end of the millennial reign of Jesus Christ that the devil is going to be loose, and he's going to persuade the world, most of the world, to follow him, and he's going to go against Jerusalem. And that's in Revelation chapter 20 and 21, or 20. He's going to go against Jerusalem with his army, and that's Gog and Magog, and God's going to destroy it. Now, go to Isaiah and look at, Zechariah, I'm thinking Isaiah 2, but it's all the way through this book. Zechariah chapter, look at chapter 14, Zechariah 14, Zechariah 14. And it says this in Zechariah 14, verse 8, it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out of Jerusalem, half of them towards the former sea and half of them towards the hinder sea, and summer and winter shall it be. And the Lord be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord and his name one. And all the land shall be turned as the plain of Geba and to Ribbon, south of Jerusalem. And it shall be lifted up and inhabited in her place. From Benjamin's gate onto the gate of the place of the first gate, onto the corner gate, and from the tower of Haniel onto the king's winepress. And men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. This is talking about at the Armageddon here. He says, have fought against Jerusalem, their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet. That's 200 million men dying. Their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. And it shall come to pass that in that day that great turmoil from the Lord shall be among them, and they shall lay hold everyone on the hand of his neighbor, and hand of his shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor. And Judah also shall fight, and this is talking about tribulation there. Now look with me to verse 16. So it goes from millennial back to tribulation back to millennial. Look at this, verse 16. It shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations, look at here, which came against Jerusalem, shall even go up from year to year to worship the king, the Lord of hosts, to keep the feast of the tabernacles. It shall be that whosoever will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the king, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. If the family of Egypt go not up and come not, that have no rain, there shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the feast of the tabernacles. That's going to be a law throughout the earth that every nation, every people will have to go to Jerusalem. The way the earth is laid out, it almost looks like God's going to either bring the landmass together. If you look at the landmass the way it's laid out now on the earth, it almost looks like he'll bring it right back together, or that he'll provide us that are reigning with him, if we do get to reign with him. If we reign with him, then we will provide the transportation to get him to Jerusalem. Now look what else it says. Verse 19, this shall be the punishment of Egypt, and verse 20, in that day there shall be upon the bells of the horses holiness on the Lord, and the pots in the Lord's house shall be like on the bowls before the altar. And it says, yea, and every pot in Jerusalem and Judah shall be holiness on the Lord of hosts, and all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them, and see if therein, in that day there shall be no more the Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. And all the way through your Bible on Zechariah, Isaiah, go to Isaiah now. Go to Isaiah chapter 65. Go to Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65. Here it is again. Isaiah 65. Behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth. And the former shall be not be remembered, nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I created. For behold, I create Jerusalem in a rejoicing, and her people a joy. There is no rejoicing going on in Jerusalem hardly now, and a joy. And right now, Jerusalem is called Sodom and Egypt. And verse 19, I will rejoice in Jerusalem. Talking about God said, I will rejoice in Jerusalem. And joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. He said, but there shall be no more hence an infant of days, nor old man that hath not filled his days. For a child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. And they shall build houses and inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. It's almost indicating that if a person honors the king in the millennial reign, they'll go to Jerusalem, they'll drink the living water, they could live all the way through that millennial reign. Now you that are saved, you'll be, like I said, you'll be representing Jesus Christ. You'll never die. These people that made it through the tribulation period, they can die, especially if they don't go to Jerusalem. Look what else it says. They shall not build another, and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat, for the days of a tree are the days of my people. How long is the days of a tree? Some trees are 300, 400, 500, 600, 700 years old. He says, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. There'll be no more eating meat. No lions won't eat the little lambs anymore. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the bullock. And the dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. Around Jerusalem, belongs to people honoring the king. But when they don't, then all hell breaks loose. Look at, there's others we could go to, but we ain't got time. Let's go back to Revelation, and we'll finish up chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. This thing is on the money, brother. This thing is something else. It says in Revelation 5, look at verse 11. And I beheld and I heard a voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them were 10,000 times 10,000, thousands of thousands. Brother, you're talking about people say, oh, heaven's going to be empty. No, it ain't. It's going to be millions and millions and millions of people there. Millions. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. and every creature which is in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be on him that sitteth upon the throne, and on the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. So chapter 6 starts the seals opening up, and this is the time of Jacob's trouble. From 6 all the way to 19, all hell breaks loose. And then that's a 7-year, what you're reading from 6 to 19 is in a 7-year period. From 6, and if you go through chapter 6, you go through the tribulation one time. And then you go through on, and then you go through it again and again at a different angle. It's just like you got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You got the different angles from the tribulation period. So this 7-year period right here, that's chapter 6 right there. Right there, the four horsemen. That's chapter 6. So that seven-year period, Revelation 6 to 19 deals with. And that's why we're going through the book of Daniel 2 on Sunday night. So you can get that, it all come together like a puzzle. You go, wow, this all fits. It all comes together. And so the four horsemen come in there, and there are famines and war and death and, I mean, just hell and destruction and anarchy and all that stuff. And they're making movies about it every week. They're putting movies out. They're advertising movies about anarchy, about, you know, space ships coming or some super something coming. They're preparing people for it. That's what the world's doing. They're preparing for it. And so you say, you really want this to happen? I don't want to see nobody hurt. I don't want to see nobody suffer. But saying that, when we say we don't see nobody die and go to hell, what are we doing about it? When we say we care about people, I don't want nobody dying and go to hell. Why would God send anybody to hell? God doesn't send nobody to hell. Man makes choices. People make choices every day, and whether you're going to receive Jesus Christ or whether you're going to serve him. And sometimes the devil will try to get you mad at God. So why did God do all this? Why? This is prophecy. This is what he said was going to happen. And we get all bowed up thinking, well, who's God think he is? If you really care, and you really love your family, you really love the people that you know, you say you really do, then are you living right? Are you living a testimony from them? They say, nobody notices. Oh, yes, they do. They notice it. Are you living right? Are you talking right? Are you praising God? Is it real? If it ain't real, I'd get alone by myself somewhere out in the middle of a farm field or somewhere. Go and say, God, I want this thing to be real to me. I'm tired of playing these games. I want to be able to know that it's real. A lot of Christians, that's what happens to Christian kids. They've been told by their parents, this is real. And they don't feel it. They don't, because they never had the experience themselves. And it ain't real to them. So they just go what the parents say, and they say, well, once I'm out from under the parents, I got other things. Yep. I'll just do my thing. And finally, they run into a brick wall after, you know, 10, 15 years. Josh, it took him to 30 years old. I always said men grow up at 30. Some men never grow up. They never grow up. They just stay an idiot all their life. And they just become stupid. I was telling Jimmy the other day, Jimmy says, I'm 65 now. I said, when are you going to get right? When are you going to start doing right, man? You know, I am doing right. I mean, when are you going to do right and live for God, man? You say you're saved. Wow. I don't understand that. Just hard to believe. But anyway, every man to himself. I done made up my mind. And I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what you think. I'm going to do what I honor God. I'm going to try to honor God. I'm not saying I do it all 100% all the time. I want to do it. I really want to do it 100%. I'm going to keep on doing it. Was in Chick-fil-A, a bus pulled up. I take every opportunity, carry tracks with you. A bus pulled up, Sussex, I guess the field hockey team. And I went, and they was all standing there. I thought, man, Linda, you got any tracks? Linda had tracks, I had tracks. So I had to go out to the truck and get some more tracks. And gave all them kids, started giving all, I went to the coach after, after I did it, I said, hey, I hope I didn't offend you. I said, I'm a Baptist preacher. I'm just giving these kids a gospel tract. He said, oh, thank you. Thank you. And just take every opportunity you can. You never know if you've got one looking at it. Why? Those kids, I'm looking at those kids. If the Lord come back right now, if they're not saved, they're going to be left behind. And guess what? They're going to have to go through tribulation. We say we believe the Bible. They have to go through the tribulation. He that endure the end, the same shall be saved. That's what's going to apply. We're not always on fire. We're not always fired up, ready to go, preaching to everybody. We're not always. I said that Sunday. We're not always. But we can try. We can try. All right, let's take a prayer request tonight. Let me get my prayer book.